Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. And we're very pleased to have with us, direct from Lancaster, South Carolina, the Dean of USCL, the University of South Carolina at Lancaster, Dean Walter Collins. Thank you for coming up here. Appreciate you being here.
Great. Thank you. Great to be back.
You know, before we get into the show, I was told this morning that a gentleman who I never met, who was instrumental in really the creation of USCL, passed away here last week. And he's the father of former state senator Greg Gregory. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And the gentleman's name was Bubber.
Bubber Gregory.
B-U-B-B-E-R.
That's correct.
So tell me the story about him, if you would.
Well, at USC Lancaster, Mr. Gregory, we consider him as one of our founders for our entire campus. He was on the with the Lancaster Chamber of Commerce, a business leader in Lancaster for decades. But in the late 1950s, he was with the Lancaster Chamber, and they had a retreat at Myrtle Beach to determine, like, projects for the coming year. And one of the ideas to pursue was college opportunities located in Lancaster. And so he and other chamber leaders at the time pursued this idea eventually with a goal of having opportunities for college education in Lancaster by the fall of 1960. And they got going. They got to having conversations, and, you know, conversations like, well, where do you go get a college? You know, how do you start a college? But they decided to talk to leaders at USC Columbia, and that led to an affirmative from Columbia to establish an extension center in Lancaster of the University of South Carolina. And it was established with the agreement being that Lancaster leaders would provide the physical space, Columbia would provide the faculty and the curriculum. And through some work on the chamber by the chamber members, renovations to an old house in downtown Lancaster were made, a 14-room house that had classrooms, office space, meeting rooms, and a chemistry lab in the garage. And the campus opened a year ahead of schedule with 50 students in the fall of 59.
Wow.
So Mr. Gregory is our hero for being one of those people to help to start our campus. And then later, of course, in the 1970s, he did a local fundraising effort for the Gregory Health and Wellness Center, which is named for him. It's our physical education building on the campus. It opened 40 years ago this month.
Isn't that something?
In 1981. So it's now, of course, the Gregory Family YMCA, right, part of the association Upper Palmetto YMCA.
Yeah. And I know over, I mean, you take a look at that one house that was renovated to get USCL off the ground in 1959. Today,
10 buildings.
Ten buildings later.
Yeah.
Instead of 50 students, we have what?
We'll have 1,800 this fall.
1,800.
Yeah.
You know, he must, obviously, over the years, he put a lot of everything into developing
absolutely.
The campus. And the Gregory family is just, you know, they're an instrumental part of what Lancaster is all about.
Undoubtedly. Absolutely. He was an exceptional man, a friend to the campus all these decades. He would call and say, how is this going? What can I help you do? He was always there to help, and a great, you know, a great doer for the campus, but also a great donor for the campus, and just exceptional person.
Well, and for, you know, I guess you don't realize how important a college campus is to a community, unless you live in a community that doesn't have one.
Yeah, that's
we're,
right.
I mean, we're fortunate here. Rock Hill, we've got Winthrop, we've got York Tech. Lancaster has USCL.
Right.
I mean, it makes a huge difference.
It does, absolutely. And that's what some of the early folks thought about, too, the what it would do for the overall community and raise the standard of living and opportunities. And, you know, Springs was going great in the 50s in Lancaster and in this region, Springs Industries. But you know, again, you have to congratulate these leaders for looking for the next big thing, too, for our region. So we're certainly grateful.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since you and I last got together, there's been some rather significant economic news coming right across the river from you, right down there in Great Falls, not Great Falls, Fort Lawn, pardon me, mm-hmm. which is the Gallo wine
That's correct.
Business coming
about 5 miles from us.
5 miles from you. How does that impact what you do day in and day out? I mean, you're not a technical college.
Right.
Which is where I think Gallo would have immediate interest in hooking up with that.
Right.
But I got to think they're interested in what you all are doing.
Absolutely. So we have a year ago in August, we established a corporate engagement and a director of corporate engagement on our campus to do just that, connect with business and industry, certainly in Indian Land, which is booming, but also anywhere in our region, in Lancaster proper and in surrounding counties. Chester County, of course, is a county that is we're legislatively established to serve. And, you know, with the proximity there 5 or 6 miles away, we will be connecting with them, absolutely. They'll hire more they'll hire front office people, accountants, all kinds of folks that need college degrees to be successful.
And that's right in your wheelhouse.
Yes, exactly. So our 2-year degrees, but also our 4-year degrees through Palmetto College as well.
And I can imagine that they, you know, part of what I have learned, what little I have learned about Gallo, is that they're very involved in the communities that they serve.
Right.
And I would imagine that would be a big boost to
absolutely,
you know, what you'll be doing down the line.
Undoubtedly. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, all right. So have you had any issues with I can't believe I'm asking this question. It's all we talk about anymore. Let me try to phrase it this way.
Yeah.
How has COVID impacted your life the last year since we last talked?
So professionally, a year ago in the fall semester, we were about 22% in person at USC Lancaster. The balance being online, of course, and it was a challenge. You know, there were technology challenges, there are connectivity challenges, there are all kinds of challenges with that. A year later, today, there are challenges, undoubtedly challenges, but we are now about 77% in person, and with the balance, of course, online. And it's great to see faces. Now there are challenges every day with new cases, and we're following up with that. One of the best decisions I think I made last summer was to hire a dedicated COVID nurse for our campus. We have nursing faculty who are nurses, right, and teachers, but their full-time responsibility professionally is to teach nursing. So I could not put that on them to help us, you know, keep up with contact tracing and case follow-up and that kind of thing. So fortunately, Vicki Henson, our campus COVID nurse, stayed with us this year. I almost thought, okay, do we really need this again? This was like, you know, in May and June. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then, of course, we do need her, clearly. And so our case count has been relatively low. We've had, between August 15th and 27th, we had 16 cases on campus. That's a 2-week period. And since last Friday, we have 4 new cases in addition to those 16. So we're hoping to hold it low, but we're testing at least twice a week. DHEC, the local Lancaster Health Department, is on our campus testing daily for the community as well as our students and faculty and staff. And we're offering vaccination clinics. Of course, we can't ask about vaccinations. We can't require vaccinations, but we offer those and we incentivize those for students.
All right. Let me ask you this, because you just said something that I wasn't, I guess I was not up to speed on. You say you cannot require the masks.
Vaccines.
But you can require the masks.
We can require masks, yes.
And are you requiring masks?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all know this, whatever the court case was, whatever came out here 10 days ago.
Yeah, the South Carolina Supreme Court changed that so that we can require masks.
Right. Hooray. Good.
Yeah.
I know all your peers in the K-12 arena, the superintendents of education, wish they had that same flexibility, but
that's
they don't.
Right. Yes.
So you're testing 2 times a week.
Yep.
Now, that's a mandatory thing?
It's not right now. It is ongoing, though. So Wednesdays and Thursdays, we do the University of South Carolina developed saliva test. So there's a lot of people sitting around in a room putting spit in tubes during that. It's not a very lovely thing to watch, but it gets the job done. Those are processed at a lab in Columbia weekly. And then DHEC, like I mentioned, is also on our campus every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to 4, for certainly us, our faculty, staff, and students, but also for the community. That's one of their community testing sites on our campus.
Well, if you got 1,800 students and, what, a couple hundred faculty and administrative people running around, that's a lot of people. It's a lot of people.
Right.
So masks are mandatory.
Right.
In class.
Yep.
In the building.
Yes.
When you're walking around the quad, you can take it off?
Yeah, we're not being so strict outside, especially if people are spread out. Now, if there's a group outside, you know, anywhere where you can't spread out a little bit, we are asking people to be mindful of that.
They call it social distancing. I call it physical distancing.
Physical distancing, right.
People understand.
Right.
So what is the protocol if, in fact, a student tests positive? What do you do?
So that the student or the faculty member or staff member who's aware contacts our COVID nurse. She's a retired DHEC employee and registered nurse in infectious diseases, and she goes through the current whatever it changes almost sometimes weekly, the protocols for, like, how close were you, who were you around. She does the contact tracing for the case, and then she lets them know what their quarantine period is. She supports them if they're truly sick. Sometimes they're not sick, right, or asymptomatic. But if they're sick, she also supports them getting health care needs met that way as well. And then encourages them to talk to their professors, or they can sign a release form for us to contact their professors and make sure they can continue learning.
But with all of your are all your classes available virtually anyway?
No, not all of them.
Not all of them. All right.
Professors are working with students, though, who can't be there to keep them up to speed.
Yeah. So far, of your 1,800 students, roughly how many do you think are in this quarantine protocol?
Quarantine, probably 30 to 40, maybe.
30 to 40.
But 20 cases that we know of. Now, there are obviously more cases because everybody has not been required to test yet. So this is voluntary testing so far.
You cannot require them to get tested?
We're working on that this week, what that will look like. And you know, a lot of things go into that. Capacity for testing, you know, the rotation for testing, how often. So that's what we're trying to define this week.
Okay. What would you say, how much time, percentage-wise during the day, do you spend on this COVID, all this COVID stuff?
Just me singularly, probably 30 to 40% of my day. Now, but that doesn't count, like, our, you know, other people who are busy with it, too, like our PR person who's doing, you know, postings about testing and vaccines, and our social media people and all that, keeping people informed. We have people in academic and student affairs texting and emailing students, making sure they're aware of testing, and so, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of. Now, some days it might be less than 30%, but it's 30 to 40%.
So when you take 30 to 40% of your day and others doing likewise, what is suffering as a result of that?
I feel like I don't get out of my office as much. So, and, you know, in fact, somebody said, I haven't seen you in forever. Well, part of that is, you know, we were mostly virtual last year, but and so I've tried to be more mindful this year to be out on campus a little bit more, because it's easy to sit there and work on the next thing related to the COVID or whatever else, right?
Right.
At your computer. But, you know, so that's probably what suffered the most with me, getting out around campus. Also, though, it's in my mind, you know, maybe people don't want to see me in their office because, you know, again, inadvertently spreading the virus is not something we want to do. So
yeah, and you know, you can be healthy as a horse, but you could be carrying the virus.
That's right.
I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious. So you can you don't have the magic wand or the magic bullet to figure out when this is all going to be behind
us. I think we're all educators are trying to find that magic wand somewhere.
What a mess. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And as Dean Walter Collins remembers, we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical way we do it at the count of three, one, two, three. Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
You know us, you love us, and if you want us to keep doing the job the way we've always done it, then we need your help. Substation 2 has immediate openings suitable for all ages and skill levels. We offer great pay, great perks, and a fun place to work. Apply inside or online. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 4106.
Comporium's Cloud Voice Services delivers carrier-class cloud PBX and hosted business phone services with all the features expected from a traditional phone system, plus unified communications, instant messaging, mobile apps, video conferencing, and more. Business Cloud Voice takes away all the guesswork by offering a cost-effective, pay-as-you-grow service. It doesn't skimp on quality or features. It won't hurt the bottom line, and it will continue to deliver innovative services year after year. Learn more online at business.comporium.com.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in and locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
You know us, you love us, and if you want us to keep doing the job the way we've always done it, then we need your help. Substation 2 has immediate openings suitable for all ages and skill levels. We offer great pay, great perks, and a fun place to work. Apply inside or online. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dean Walter Collins is with us. He is the dean of USCL down in Lancaster. They've been there since 1959. As we just heard earlier in the program, they operate, you operate pretty much around the clock. You offer classes all the time, don't you?
Yeah, all summer long. We had a great summer this past summer. We were up over this previous summer enrollment, so that was good. Only a few students, but it was up. And back at it for fall now.
So you said you had about 1,800 enrollment. Is that good, bad, about what
it's about where we were last year? Okay. Yeah, about where we have been, in fact, for the last 3 to 5 years. So that includes students that are not, that are maybe categorized as belonging to other campuses through Palmetto College, four-year degree programs, but are using our campus as home base. Come to our campus to use the library, use our financial aid office, for example. And it also counts the BSN students, the Bachelor of Science in Nursing students, the collaborative program we have with the College of Nursing at USC Columbia. So we got about 48 of those students, 24 juniors, 24 seniors this year. So and looking to expand that. That's one of the things we're going to do over the next year or two. In nursing, you expand in denominations of eight. And for clinical reasons, for clinical training reasons, and so we're at 24 per cohort, per junior and senior year, and we're going to be going up to 32, we hope, for fall 2022 for the next junior class.
There is a shortage of nurses.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere. Now, are you seeing a demand, a push from students who say, I want to get into the nursing program, but I
we
can't?
We do. We do. So we and if you so I always think about this. Winthrop does not have a BSN program.
Right.
So if you drew a on a state of South Carolina map, if you drew a line from USC Upstate in Spartanburg to Columbia and did another line from Columbia over to Florence and Coastal, anything above that line, there's no four-year degree program except us. And
wow.
we're a collaborative program because we're primarily a two-year campus, but we're collaborating with USC's College of Nursing. So we need, in our region, we need to expand four-year degree nursing. And this is one way we see that we can help in that process.
Well, I can tell you right here in your county, Piedmont Medical Center could use some nurses.
Absolutely. And our BSN students train there in clinical
there you go.
So we have a great connection with them.
And in probably, what, about a year or so, they'll be opening the new Fort Mill Medical Center.
Right.
And if you just drive up 21, and when you get there to 160, just look at the steel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a good-sized hospital.
And then hopefully 5 to 10 years after that, there'll be an expansion of MUSC Lancaster in Indian Land.
There you go.
Yeah, 100 beds there.
So I think you the pressure's on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you, I mean, do you go out and recruit at the high school level, say, here's a wonderful career that you can get into?
We do. We do, in fact. And we bring high schoolers to our nursing sim lab on campus. Our nursing simulation lab opened in 2015. And that was the last component that kept our nurses completely on our campus. So before that, while we had the BSN program, our students had to travel to Columbia to complete the components for simulation. Once our lab opened, the whole program was then in Lancaster. So we bring high schoolers in there for special tours or special event days we have, like a Junior Scholars Day or Honors Day, and they watch our BSN students and faculty do demonstrations where they can, you know, simulate a patient trauma of some kind and then show how our nursing students learn how to treat that and how to, you know, help the patient.
So they can do all 4 years at USCL?
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
All components are on our campus now. All components
of the
program.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you will never have a need to worry about there being a need for nurses, what I'm trying to get to.
Absolutely. Nurses and teachers, I think we're seeing that, especially through COVID. You know, it's taken a toll on those two professions. Many other professions, certainly, but those two in particular.
So besides the nursing program and growing it there, What else do you see as, I don't know, the next most popular one, the one that people are banging the door on that they want more of? What would that be?
So, you know, criminal justice still remains popular on our campus. We have a specialized associate's degree in criminal justice. Unlike our other sister campuses across the USC system, Sheriff Barry Fail has lauded our program and talked about the students that come out of that and who end up working for the Sheriff's Department. Business remains highly competitive, the business program on our campus. And then Palmetto College continues to grow on our campus. So the four-year degrees, that is this collaborative effort through all the USC campuses, continues to grow. We're seeing about an 8 or 9% increase in enrollment in that this fall. So,
and the Palmetto College, for people who don't remember, this is basically a four-year online degree?
Well, at least the last 2 years are online. They can start with us in person and then matriculate into the online, we can say online completion.
Right.
So the junior and senior years are online. And for some degrees, some of those courses in the junior and seniors are still in person. Just depends on, you know, which degrees.
Flipping back to COVID, there's been a lot of extra dollars flowing around to all types of entities, governmental entities, educational entities, and I'm sure that you have gotten your share or trying to get your share.
We have. Fortunately, we have. So, one of the wonderful things that has come out of this is a boost to student financial aid. So, at least twice now over the last year, we have added to financial aid eligible students, sums of money that they, you know, we didn't know we'd ever see. And so that has helped students financially and supporting them in their educational pursuits. Likewise, we were awarded a grant for from the governor of South Carolina to bring an Apple lab to our campus, and that will be put together this fall and opened. The whole intent of the lab is to not only serve the campus, but also to serve the community. So we'll have a coordinator for that lab on our campus that reaches out into the community, school children, senior citizens groups, whoever would like to use that, GED students who may want to work on a project, have Apple equipment, iPads, desktop computers, all kinds of things that can help them in special projects or special situations that IT needs.
So in terms of round numbers of dollars, how many dollars were you able to get through these various programs that have resulted from COVID?
So I think for the student financial aid piece, I'd have to go back and look, but I'm thinking it's over $1 million for our students that was dispersed over two different dispersal periods.
Right.
The Apple Lab was close to $500,000 for our campus. And we also have gotten other COVID HRF funds, we call it, COVID relief funds, probably to the tune of about $2 million.
And you used a lot of that to do alterations of classrooms and kind of thing?
Yeah, that's right. Any COVID they had COVID expenses. We had to show COVID expenses to qualify for reimbursement for that.
And that would include, would it not, transferring some of these in-class programs to virtual?
That's right. And so any IT equipment that would be needed to do that to help our faculty be able to teach that way. Yeah.
Interesting.
To physical alterations like you mentioned.
So I don't want to run out of time before I ask you what's coming up that we want to make sure that we tell people about.
Yeah. So we have started talking about a new initiative that we are going to start a year from now, which is esports. Many, you may have heard of this. Many, even in the high schools and middle schools now, are doing this. And we have waited a little while. So we have sister campuses who have been in this arena for a while. But we'll open an esports team next fall of 22. And we're currently recruiting in the high schools for that, for competitors for that. Sports is in the name, but we're treating it more like a club or organization, a student club or organization. We've already engaged the sponsor for the club, who is a current IT staff member, but who has interest in this area. And we're looking forward to getting started on that. So,
now, sports in general,
yep.
You don't have teams, do you?
So I'm not sure.
I think
they can play as a team, but I know they do also play individually as well.
What I'm getting to is you don't have a basketball team. You don't have a football team at USCL.
We do have athletics. Traditional, we have four teams. Yes, so I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question. So we have baseball,
right.
Women's volleyball,
okay.
And men's and women's soccer.
Okay.
Yep. So two men's teams and two women's teams. Women's soccer plays this afternoon at 3 o'clock on campus against Lewisburg College.
Good.
So this would be more like a club, though, esports.
Well, Dean Walter Collins, thank you for all that you're doing. Thanks for coming up today.
Absolutely.
Giving us an update as to what's happening down there. Very interesting, to say the least. And let's hope next time we get together, COVID will be a thing of the past.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical way we do it at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.